Do you think that you'd like to be blessed? Would you like to be blessed? Would you like to be blessed beyond measure? The word blessing comes out a lot in the Bible, and our idea of it is it's good, not bad, right? So if we look on the screen there, we're going to talk about the kingdom of God, where you see blessing upon blessing, or there are a lot of ways different translations put that. One of them says, one gracious blessing after another. That's in John. Let's look at it. John chapter 1. I'll just read it. John chapter 1, where this is John, and John the Baptist had been talking about Jesus. And you read in John chapter 1, that famous passage, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And so when it comes to chapter 1, John chapter 1, verse 15, John testifies concerning him, saying, "This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me." John says, "From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another." Now, this blessing idea, we're not going to always call it that, but there are so many passages in the Bible that I don't know what to call them, mountaintop experiences, passages in the Bible that are so stirring and encouraging, and you see those all along the way. And the best way I can describe it is that they're blessing upon blessing. There are passages that talk about the blessing we have in Christ, and they're just so amazing. You have to stop and think, and you have to stop and meditate, and you have to stop and say, this is something I never had thought of. I never had encountered that blessing. So we're going to look at some of the blessing upon blessing. But it's involved in, according to as what we see on the screen there, the kingdom of God. So I put in the next slide, how did the kingdom of heaven come to earth? If we're in the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, and we're receiving blessing and blessing and more blessing, well, how come we have a kingdom? Let's see, the earth. I guess a lot of people don't think of it that way. The earth has all kinds of kingdoms. We don't call them kingdoms anymore much, but, governmental systems and people in power here and there, sometimes by the will of the people, sometimes by the will of some dictator. And so you have kingdoms, and there's one that is called the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. How'd that get here? I've got on the slide there one passage about from Genesis. You would probably be familiar with that. In Genesis chapter 3, where it talks about Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve had everything perfect. It was perfect. It was a paradise. God had given them this paradise. And they're there, and the serpent, Satan, comes along, and he says, is it true that you cannot eat of these trees, this beautiful garden, these trees? And Eve answered up and said, no, we can eat of all these trees, but there is that one. God had told them the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the middle of the garden. Don't touch the one that's the knowledge of good and evil, or you'll start knowing evil. He didn't put it that way, but he said, you'll die. So Eve says, yes, there are trees. We can eat of all these trees, but there's that one. And Satan questioned her about that one. And she said, God said, if we touch that one, we'll die. And he said, you're not going to die. You won't die. So Satan got her attention by that. And she looked at it, and it was good for food, and it would make you smarter, and all of that. And so you know what happened. She partook the fruit, and then Adam did too. He didn't try to stop the proceedings. He just went right along with the whole thing. And so now you have a new dictator on the earth. You have a new dictator, and that's why I put up 1 John 5:19, which if you've been here much, that's a familiar verse. 1 John 5:19 says the whole world is under the control of the evil one. So Adam and Eve had God's kingdom on earth. They had a paradise. They had everything that you could want. No sin, no problems, no evil. And when Satan came in, he tricked them out of it because God had given them, the psalmist, one of the psalms says that God, the heavens belong to God, but the earth he gave to man. So Satan tricked them out of their position. They gave it to him in a sense because they believed him instead of God. They started following him instead of God. And now that idea comes up in the New Testament. It's all through the Bible. But the idea that the world is broken, and there are problems, and the world is not what it should be, and the world is, and that helps me understand why we have the mess that we have. Some things happen in life, evil things happen in life, and you look at it and you think, that goes beyond. That event goes beyond what human evil can come up with. People go in and shoot. It's happened two or three times recently. Shoot a bunch of people and then shoot themselves. Now what's wrong with this picture? Why would someone want to kill other people then kill themselves? Why not just kill yourself? And sometimes these people that kill other people are interviewed on television, not the ones that commit suicide, of course, but some of them are interviewed and you look in their eyes and their eyes are just vacant. There's nothing there. Porch light, not even on. Not only is nobody home, porch light's not even on. Something going on there. Well, John told us, he said, the whole world, the world system, not it's the human system without God. The human system without God is broken. It's not only broken, it's evil. It is run by Satan. That's why so many governments have problems. That's why there's so much confusion in the world and murder and hatred and violence and cheating and lying and stealing and all of that. Satan loves that stuff. He's the father of lies. He told Adam and Eve a lie. He invented lying, and he does it all the time. So we have a world now that is in that situation. It is the fall, we call it sometimes, the fall of mankind. And then you have this statement here. Jesus actually came back to take Adam's place. The first Adam blew it and ruined this place. He and Eve got us into this mess, and we are all living in it. We all sin, all fall short of the glory of God because sin is in the world, evil's in the world. And this statement I made here is Jesus, the last Adam, came. See, God had a plan for the first Adam, and the first Adam blew it, so he sent his son to be the last Adam. The Bible calls him that, the last Adam. What does that mean? He gets a shot at it too, and he did a whole lot better job than the first Adam did. Jesus was tempted at all points like we are, yet did not sin. He came to be the last Adam, to pull the human race back to God, away from Satan and back to God, and he did that. And that's why Jesus came preaching the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, sometimes kingdom. Matthew usually uses that phrase, kingdom of heaven. Some of the others don't use, they use kingdom of God. But it's Jesus' message, remember that? He said it more than once. He said it a lot. And the quote up here is Matthew chapter 4. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Wait a minute, God's kingdom was kicked out of the world by Satan in concert with Adam and Eve, and the kingdom of God, you'd studied the subject all through the Old Testament, early parts of the New Testament, and the world was in a mess just like it is now. But Jesus came and said, good news, you need to repent, in other words, change from what you've been doing, and come into this new kingdom. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is now on earth. The kingdom of heaven is now on earth. Well, Satan knew that, so he immediately began to try to trick Jesus. Do you remember that story? Matthew chapter 4. The devil took Jesus to a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. What did Satan say? All this I will give you if you'll bow down and worship me. I believe one of the other gospel accounts says, all this I will give you because it has been given to me. Well, who gave it to Satan? People did. Now, I've heard preachers say, oh, Satan doesn't rule this world because God rules the world. If Satan said that to Jesus and it was not true that he ran all the kingdoms of the world, if it were not true, it wouldn't be a temptation. Jesus would have just said, you're full of hot air. You don't have any power. But Jesus didn't say that. What did he say? He quoted the Old Testament scripture that says, you're not to worship anybody but the Lord your God. Satan said, you fall down and worship me. You can have it all. Guess what? Satan was lying because he's always lying. If Jesus had bowed the knee to Satan, Jesus would have been just like us. He wouldn't be ruling the world. Satan would still be ruling the world. What does that tell you? Satan knew his kingdom was in jeopardy. And so he tried to trick Jesus. into betraying his father. Can you imagine that moment in heaven when Satan said that to Jesus, and that little pause? I wonder if all of heaven didn't stop. Just stop in their tracks. And look down on this human being, Son of God, but still in a human body, and wait to see what his answer was. Because if Satan had said, or Jesus had said to Satan, if Jesus had said, okay, I'll do that. Let me get out on my knee right now. What would have happened? The Father in heaven and the Son of God in mortal combat with each other. I don't even want to think about that, do you? Ooh, what would that have been like? We praise Jesus today because he stood his ground and he said, I don't do anything except what I see my Father do, and I don't say anything except what my Father tells me to say it. And I'm not going to worship you. I'm not going to worship you because it says, it is written, he said, it is written, thou shalt not worship any other gods. He's quoting not that one, but he's quoting one where it talks about worshiping the Lord and worshiping him only. So now you got two kingdoms to pick from. One of them you already picked because you got born. When you got born, guess what? You belong to the first Adam. You got born. It's sad to see some children born with deformities, some children born with illnesses. People die in childhood. You come into this world, and guess whose kingdom you're in just because you're a human being. You're in the first Adam. You're under the first Adam. You want to be in the last Adam, what do you have to do? Well, the next slide on here says this. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders, but now my kingdom is from another place. He said that to Pilate, didn't he? John 18? Yeah, John chapter 18, verse 36. Jesus said, oh, I've got a kingdom. The people that were trying to crucify him had said, he's claiming to be the king of the Jews. So the Roman authorities said, are you the king? He said, yeah, I got a kingdom, but it's not of this world. It's not from here. It's a supernatural kingdom. It's a different kind of a kingdom. It's a kingdom, he says here, my kingdom is from, he didn't say it was in another place. He said it's from another place to this earth. My kingdom is from another place. So now you got these two kingdoms. You have two kingdoms. So I put on this slide here, how do you get into the kingdom of the last Adam? I want in on that, don't you? I want out of what Adam, the first Adam, brought to this world. I want a better deal. I want blessing upon blessing. We just found out that in the kingdom of God, there's blessing upon blessing. There's grace upon grace, the Greek literally says. There is the word is charis, which means charisma, where you get our word charisma, a charismatic, meaning grace just comes on you. Grace just helps you when you don't know how. Grace just works in your life, blessing upon blessing. Doesn't it say that in the 23rd Psalm? Surely goodness and mercy shall what? Follow me. God's graces come on you. They follow you. His blessings come on you. It's not something you engineer. It's something because you're a child of God in the kingdom of God. It's your birthright to be blessed. It's your birthright to be blessed. How do you get into the kingdom of the last Adam? Jesus said this, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. So you got born into Adam, now you need to get born into Christ, born into the kingdom of God. Well, how do you do that? We'll talk more about that, but how do you get born again? How does that happen? Well, born again, remember that story, that John 3, verse 3, is Nicodemus. And Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. He was part of the ruling council, so he had to be careful. So he came to Jesus by night, and he said, you're a teacher from God. We know that's true because of all the miracles you do. And Jesus didn't even acknowledge that he said it. He said, you must be born again if you want to see the kingdom, even see the kingdom of God. I imagine that took Nicodemus back a step or two, and he said, well, how can that happen? How can a man be born out of his mother's womb again? How can he go back into his mother's womb and come out again? He's thinking flesh, isn't he? And Jesus is talking about born again in another way. He said, no, flesh gives birth to flesh, spirit gives birth to spirit. And he said, it's like the wind blows. Jesus said, it's like the wind blowing that you don't exactly know. You don't exactly know where it comes from or where it goes, but you see the result. You can see the wind blow the trees, can't you, and all of that. So what did Nicodemus ask? Well, how can I do this born again thing? Born from above, the Greek literally says, born from above. How does that happen? He was puzzled, like most people are. Most unbelievers or people out there in the world that have not had any Bible training or no church background would say, I don't understand that. How can he be born? What does it mean? Some kind of weird phrase, born again. What does it mean to be born? How do you do this? Nicodemus said, well, how does that happen? You know what Jesus said? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does a work in you. See, you don't manufacture the new birth. You just submit to it. You just submit to it. It's not manufactured. The Spirit comes and causes something in you to be reborn that's spirit, not flesh. And so born again people are just different. Now, when you're first born again, there's not much difference. But look back a few years later. Look back a few years later, and most of you can do that and say, yeah, my life has changed. My life has changed because of what God did in me. So you're brought into this new kingdom by the work of the Holy Spirit. We always want to know, you know, 5 steps to get in the kingdom of God. Well, it's not quite that simple. It is a work of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Spirit. Some people who claim to be Christians are obviously not born again. You say, how do you know that? Their behavior, their lack of interest in church, their lack of interest in the Bible, their lack of interest in spiritual things. So you can name the name of Jesus and get baptized, and if you haven't submitted to Jesus as Lord, He calls the shots. He's boss. If He's not boss of your life, I mean in actual practice, boss of your life, I would back up and say maybe there was a miscarriage. Because if you're in the kingdom, what does a kingdom mean? Dom, D-O-M, means domain, or so shortened of the word domain, a king's domain. If you're in Jesus' domain and you've been brought into His domain by the Holy Spirit, wouldn't you think that you would bow the knee to that king because He's the king of the domain and whatever He says goes? Yes, sir. I'll do what you say. I'll believe what you tell me to believe. I'll read what you want me to read. I'll do what you want me to do as far as being involved with other people, how you want me to treat other people. Yes, sir, I'll treat them that way. Here we go, you know. Military people understand that because if you get assigned somewhere, if you get assigned somewhere and you're in the military, career military, you have to go, don't you? It's like, well, you know, I don't want to go over there because they might not have McDonald's over there. No. Doesn't quite work that way, does it? Doesn't quite work that way. You go into basic training in the military. I went through 9 weeks, and guess what? They owned me for 9 weeks. I was like, you do what we tell you to do or else. Is Jesus king? Is He king of His kingdom? Are you in His kingdom? Okay. If you're born again, you understand what I'm talking about. If you're born again, you say, yes, sir. You paid all for me. I don't deserve it. You paid everything for me, and I don't deserve it, but I'm going to serve you whatever you tell me to do. None of this stuff of, well, I don't think I want to do that. I hope He doesn't call me to do this or that. If He calls you to do it, you would enjoy it because He knows you better than you know yourself. And He would send you into some situation and say, I'll give you the grace to do it. I'll give you the grace to do it. My young years, teenager, college even, if somebody would have told me When you get to be 24 years old, you'll spend the rest of your life speaking to audiences. I would have said, oh, that me. I had a morbid, I mean serious, morbid fear of public speaking. I mean, it made me sick to think about standing up in front of an audience and talking. So how'd I get here? Grace. I went off to college. I took some college time in junior college, community college where I was, and then I went to Southern Miss. And to try to further my education, I was a computer, eventually became a computer programmer. But I got down there and I was signing up for the bachelor's degree, finished my schooling, get the bachelor's degree in computer science. And they had two computer science courses, you know, levels of courses. And one side was a Bachelor of Arts and one side was a Bachelor of Science, BS or BA. And I was signing up and they said, which one you want, BS? And I said, well, I don't know much difference. What's the difference in the Bachelor of Arts and Bachelor of Science? They showed me the curriculum. Bachelor of Arts had public speaking. I had to take a public speaking class. I said, I don't want that one. I changed my major. Not changed my major, but I changed the degree I was going for, a BS instead of a BA, because I didn't want to take public speaking. Scared of it, afraid of it. They've done lists before of the people's most things they fear the most. Public speaking is always up there, number one or number two on most lists. How'd I get here? Grace. God just slowly eased me into it. Oh, scared? Yeah, I was scared at first, really scared. Really scared. And you just sort of swallow and you do it, and you survive it. I survived the first one. When I was a student, we had to preach some, and I survived the second one, survived. By the time you survive a few, that's one key to getting over your fears. Do the thing that you fear long enough and you won't fear it anymore. Is Jesus king of his kingdom? Does what he say, does it go, whatever he says goes? And if he tells you to do something you're a little bit afraid of, will he give you the grace to do it? Yeah. Will it be easy? No. Combat in the military is not easy, is it? But you're there for a purpose. And the government supposedly will support you and give you the ammunition you need, and that's the hope anyway. Is Jesus kingdom better than that? Is he king of his kingdom? Oh, yeah. Born again. Now that you're in the kingdom, what are the blessings? This next slide, what are the blessings of being born again? First Peter. I'm going to give you some. I didn't take time to print these or put these out on the screen. So if you want to read these, you'll have to write them down. At least the citation, 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. I got verse 1. It's actually beginning of verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1 begins in verse 3. Just if you're reading this, just read, you know, on your own. But listen to this. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ! Exclamation point. Do we praise Jesus, our King? He's the one that's responsible for every good blessing we have. Every good thing we have comes from his work, his death, burial, and resurrection, his ministry, everything he does. And even now, he's our great high priest. He's interceding and praying for us right now while we're sitting in here. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth. Who gave it to us? He did. So we didn't manufacture the new birth. Some people know all the words to say to claim they've been born again, but when Jesus causes you to be born again, you know it. And you don't have to argue about it. He has given us new birth into a living hope. What kind of hope? It's not dead. Some people have a dead hope. A dead hope is, if I just can make enough money and retire rich, I'll have everything I want and everything I need. If they're not a believer in Jesus, then they're going to go down that route, and I have everything I need, everything I want. And then what happens when you die? You're there with that rich man and Lazarus story, right? You come to a point where, ooh, that was the wrong hope. I put my eggs in the wrong basket there. That's a dead hope, isn't it? But we don't have a dead hope, do we? Do we have a dead hope? No, we don't have a dead hope. New birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus, the Messiah, from the dead, and into an inheritance. Well, you got to be a child if you're going to inherit. You have to be a relative. You have to be part of the family if you're going to inherit, right? So we are inheritors. We're heirs. Joint heirs with Christ, the Bible says. So he says, here we have an inheritance. What kind is it? It will never perish. It will never spoil. It will never fade away. It is kept in heaven. All your riches, you have a treasure in heaven, Jesus said. Work toward the treasure in heaven, not treasures on earth. Treasures on earth are nice. You can have them, but your main one is in heaven. He says here that it's this inheritance. What's an inheritance? Somebody gets a lot of produce from somebody else's life after they die, then you inherit the money, you inherit the land, whatever it is. We inherit because Jesus has died and now he's resurrected, and everything he bought for us, we're going to inherit. What are we going to inherit? Heaven. We're going to inherit the Father's throne. We're going to inherit everything God has. That's our inheritance. That can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. The devil can't get at it. Evil people cannot get at it. Who are through faith are shielded. Is faith a shield? Remember that? Shield of faith in Ephesians 6, isn't it? Shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice. Do you rejoice? Does it make you happy? Rejoicing to say, this world's not all there is. I have a Father bigger than anybody else's Father. I have a Father who has laid up for me treasures in heaven. And when I finish my assignment here, I get to retire. That's the real retirement, isn't it? I get to have my inheritance when I get there. And I suspect we have other assignments. I don't know that. We'll look into that later. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. It doesn't come easy because you serve a Lord that the world hates. And so you'll have some blowback and you'll have some hassle and you'll have some issues. But he said, it won't happen that long. I mean, just a little while. And then you'll be out of that. We're talking about blessing. Blessing upon blessing. Look at 1 John. We did that one during communion, but 1 John chapter 3. What did he say in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1? How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. So he's back to that issue again. The issue is, who do you belong to? I heard a preacher say one time he preached in a prison. They asked him to come preach in the prison. This pretty rough guy is in the prison, you know. And he said, so I preached a sermon to those guys in the prison, and the sermon title was, Who's Your Daddy? Who's Your Daddy? He said, a lot of those guys didn't know who their daddy was. So I showed them a bigger daddy. The bigger daddy is really your daddy. Oh, don't you know that helped some guys in that prison to realize I had a rough start in life. Family didn't help me any, but now I got a real family. I got a forever family. I've heard people say, I've heard it more than once, even in this church, people say, oh, my church family is closer than my flesh family. Because flesh family sooner or later will disappoint you, but God never will. Your forever family will always love you. You have an inheritance, he says, that can't be destroyed. Then in 1 John chapter 3, it is such a great love that is an amazing love that we've been called children of God, and that's what we are. The reason the world doesn't know us is it didn't know him. Dear friends or beloved, now we are children of God. Are we children of God? Let's settle that today. Are we children of God? Yes. Are we related to God? We have the same DNA in your spirit as the DNA of the Holy Spirit, if you want to put it that way. God's DNA dwells in you and the Holy Spirit in your spirit, and so you have an inheritance, and you are God's child. We are children of God because of God's overwhelming love that he poured out in Christ, and we have that inheritance. We have that position. You know, position is everything, isn't it? Position in life is everything. Some people have a great position in life. They may rule a a state, they may rule a nation, but what's our position? Our position is, I am God's child, He's my dad, He's my... In fact, one passage in Romans says, call Him Abba, Father. Abba is the name for daddy in our, in the Aramaic language, would translate for us to dad. So that's my position. I have been adopted. We'll talk about that one later. But I have been adopted. You have been adopted. You've been born again. You've been brought into the family of God. And your real daddy is the Almighty. Your real daddy is the Most High God. And your older brother is Jesus. That's why we call each other brother and sister. It's not just a nicety. Brother or sister means we're related. We're related through that same bloodline. We're related to that same spiritual DNA. Now, this is what I would call blessing upon blessing, high water marks, mountaintop experiences in the Bible, where you say, this is what keeps you going. You understand, you know, that life gets tedious sometimes, and sometimes you need a good boost, don't you, of saying, now I remember why I'm doing this. Now I remember why I got into this. How good is God? Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. And we're going to begin about verse 3. Galatians, it'd be good if I got there instead of Ephesians. Huh? Galatians chapter 4 and verse 3. So also when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic rudiments of the world. We lived in that world, in other words. But when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law of Moses, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights. The full rights as sons. The full rights of adoption, the Greek, I think, says. So we receive what? All the rights we need in Christ, and we've been adopted. Adopted because we weren't naturally, didn't have the natural DNA of God, but Jesus gave it to us. When we were born again, we have God's DNA in us, spiritual DNA. Verse 6, because you are sons, now that includes the ladies too, right? Because you're sons, it's just a term that means you're a child. Because you're sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Abba. The Holy Spirit in you is the spirit of prayer. And you say, Abba, Father. When Jesus was asked how they should, the disciples said, help us learn how to pray in Luke 11, He said, pray this way, Father in heaven. I wonder if they'd ever even heard that. Calling God your Father? A lot of times under the old law, they didn't dare do that because it was like, he's Almighty Jehovah. He'll strike you down, you know. And now you call Him Father? He's your Father. When the time had fully come, Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we, believers, might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave. We were slaves to the devil, weren't we? Bible says that several times. We were in bondage to the devil because he kidnapped us. You're no longer a slave, but a son, a child. Since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. And then Romans 8, we'll quit with Romans 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. Verse 15, Romans 8, 15 says, for you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. Oh, a lot of people have been enslaved to fear these days. Huh? But you received the spirit of adoption. By Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in His sufferings, in order we may also share in His glory. In other words, keep doing your job. You're on assignment down here. Just keep on. People won't like it sometimes, but you are a child of God, and you're brought into the kingdom of God, and it's our pleasure to serve Him and his kingdom. It's not just that Jesus is king over a country of some kind, even a supernatural country. Jesus is king, and you're related to him. He's your older brother. Wouldn't that be neat? If you live in a big, beautiful land, and your dad is the king, and your older brother is the prince, and you're related to all of them, and they bring you in, and you get help run the country. Isn't that something that God would bestow all of this on us? We've got Romans 12, not on the screen there, but Romans 12 talks about be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You can get to where you want to go spiritually if you'll just keep renewing your mind in the Scriptures and stop being so negative about everything and listening to the world's junk and garbage. And if you listen to the world long enough, they'll steal your faith right out from under you. They don't have any faith. They are blinded, the Bible says. In fact, when I pray for the notebook here, there are some passages here that we've talked about. It's not on the screen either, but passages we've talked about. One of them, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, says this: the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers. Is that true? So don't listen to what they say. Don't let them intimidate you. Don't let them steal your faith. Just say, no, I'm a child of God. I know that. My spirit knows that. God's DNA is in me, and I'm doing a job. I'm on assignment, a royal assignment from the heavenly realms to do what God's calling me to do. Last slide. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Does he love us? It's natural. Some people are insane and don't do that, but pretty naturally it's human nature to love your kids. You want them to do well, you know, and your family. So God, we are his beloved children. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Walk in love. So we're going to walk in love here for a minute while I pray over this notebook. If you aren't here, we've compiled 29 pages of names, 29 pages of names of people that we're praying for. Many of these are not saved. Most of them don't even know Jesus, haven't been born again. You contributed the names. If you didn't do that and you want to do that, or you want to add some names, or you can give me a sheet of paper. There are some sheets of paper in there with that on it. And the fellowship hall, just fill it out, put names on it, give it to me. They'll go in the notebook. We pray over this. So far, we've done a pretty good job of praying every time we're together over all these names. Now, we obviously don't have time to name them all individually, so the Lord knows who they are, of course. So we're going to pray over them. Father, we have a great honor today that we can come before you as your children. We know that even in human life, people love to hear from their children. They love to hear from their grandchildren. So we know you care about what we've done here today, and you care about listening to us. And we know, Father, our prayers to you are probably, to your mind, very simple. But they're from the heart. We pray from the heart that you would touch these individuals. Some of them, Father, just need to have their hearts open. Some of them need to have the blindness removed. They need their spiritual eyes healed. They need their hearts open, like you did Lydia in the book of Acts. We ask that, Father, because this is your will. This is the family business. The family business is to get more people into Christ, born again, and that's our mission, our task. That's what we're here for. And we ask you, Father, that you would open these hearts, send people across their path. You said we could ask for more workers to go in the field, and we do that. That these individuals will have someone in their area, someone near them that can explain the gospel to them, or at least even give their testimony about how you've worked in their lives. We pray great harvest, Father, will come from this. We believe in you. We trust you. We trust your word. We have no doubt that most of the folks in this notebook that we're praying for are going to experience a turnaround in their lives, even if they're Christians who have fallen away. They'll come back to you, Father. We know that in heaven, your word says when the one sinner repents, just one, just one person, if all we get is one out of these prayers, it'll set heaven to rejoicing. So thank you, Father, for our time today. We ask that if any in this audience need to make a confession of their faith in Jesus, they'll do that. We ask you, Father, just to do your will today as we gather together around this song that we're going to sing here in just a moment. Thank you, Father, for blessing us today with understanding that in your kingdom, there's blessing upon blessing. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.